It has become a modern tendency to separate things one from another, and so the mystery we celebrate today, the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to the parents of St. John the Baptist, must be understood in light of what immediately preceded it, for it is ultimately the fruit of the Incarnation. For this all transpires immediately after the angel Gabriel announces to Our Lady that she will receive the Messiah of the world. And indeed, as the first reading tells us, it will be a message of joy, and that joy will first be experienced by St. John the Baptist. For immediately upon receiving the Christ, Our Lady sets off, but sets off not simply on a mindless mission, but rather a mission she has been given by the Holy Spirit himself, and that mission is the mission of all Christians. That is, once we have received Christ in baptism, when we come to the age of reason, it is our mission to give Christ to others. Our Lady, understanding this call from the Holy Spirit, has a unique role in the mission of the Church. She has a unique role in bringing Christ to souls. And so, today she is seen, in a certain sense, as the precursor of the precursor, for she first comes and announces to St. John the Baptist that the Messiah is in the world, not by any words, but by her mere presence. And so it is that presence of the Virgin Mary that we should strive to see in all lands and in all peoples, for where she is present, Christ is truly found, as the infant John the Baptist finds him this day. And so Our Lady first brings Christ to St. John the Baptist before he can announce, before he can become the precursor, that is, the announcer of the Christ amongst us. And indeed, Our Lady receives great praise from St. Elizabeth this day, after she too is filled with the Holy Spirit upon experiencing the leap of her child in her womb. For St. Elizabeth declares emphatically, "What brings the mother of my Lord?" And hence we have the scriptural text that is the basis for the Church's doctrine that Mary is truly the mother of God. For Christ is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and in his sacred humanity, it is the Virgin Mary who is his mother. And so, being hypostatically united to the second person of the Blessed Trinity in his humanity, he is truly God and truly man. And so it is said of the Virgin Mary that she is truly the Mother of God in the sacred humanity of Christ. And indeed, it is these passages from Scripture that must be in our minds and in our hearts as we seek to reunite Christianity. For if, as many of our Protestant brethren maintain, Scripture is the basis of faith, then it must be asked, who is more faithful to Scripture, the Catholics or those who diminish the meaning? For St. Elizabeth clearly declares, "What brings the mother of my Lord?" And in the scriptural language, that means, "What brings the mother of my God?" And so it is a scriptural passage that confirms this truth of our faith, that Our Lady truly is the mother of God. And furthermore, we have the great proclamation of Our Lady herself. It does not matter that Our Lady spoke these words of herself, because many times in Scripture, great men and great women speak of themselves as St. John the Baptist would, and many of the patriarchs and prophets of old. What we believe as members of the Christian faith is that all are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and so Our Lady speaks not out of pride, but out of humility, those words which the Holy Spirit inspired her to speak, because the author of this gospel was inspired to recite those words, and he had to receive them from someone. For this was a private meeting of Our Lady with the parents of St. John the Baptist. And so, as St. Luke himself will tell us in the very beginning of the gospel, when he wrote, he sought to find all these things out from the beginning. For there were many fanciful tales about the mystery of the Incarnation that were present in the time of St. Luke. But because he knew the Mother of God was still present, he went to her and sought from her these truths. And so he learned from the very mouth of the Blessed Virgin Mary those words spoken at the visitation, and those words are words of comfort to the whole human race. And so all Christians must judge themselves insofar as they conform to the prophecy of the Blessed Virgin Mary this day, for she says very clearly, all generations will call me blessed. And so we must ask ourselves, who is it that calls the Mother of God blessed? Is it the members of the Catholic faith or members of the separated brethren? And so we must strive always to reach out as Our Lady reached out to bring a greater understanding of the Scripture, always studying so that we too may be willing to give a defense for the faith that we possess. And we do so in order not to win points over others, but in order that they may embrace the fullness of the faith. For it is a simple formula of ancient times within the Church that where we have the Mother, we have the Christ. And when the Mother is not had, then Christ will not be had. And so, in many instances, we have a diminishing of the faith outside of the Catholic Church. Indeed, at this present moment, all our Protestant brethren, even the most conservative observants, allow three formulas of baptism, only one of them that is valid according to the scriptural account and the teaching of the Church. And so it is this loss of the Mother that ultimately ends in the loss of Christ Himself. And so we must be imbued with that missionary spirit of the Mother of God, seeking always to embrace Christ as she would embrace Him in that most unique way when she became His Mother. But then we must strive always to imitate her, to bring Christ to all peoples and to all times, at all times and in all places. It is very common, even within the body of the Church in this day and age, to be discouraged by what we see transpiring in the world. But Our Lady's message is not a message of discouragement. Indeed, it is when we see Christ most diminished in the world that we should accept these joyful words of Our Lady and then strive to bring Him. For the Lord came for one reason and one reason only. He came to save souls, and save souls He will. And He has ordained that this be done through the members of His mystical body. And so, in season and out of season, we have that joyful message, that message first embraced by the Blessed Virgin Mary, which incorporated her in a unique way in the mission of Christ. And then, once embracing her as our Mother, we are incorporated into that mission of the Immaculate to bring Christ to all peoples and to all souls. And so it is not our mission, it is the mission of the Immaculate, which she received from the Holy Spirit, and hence it is the mission of God the Father, that all may come to embrace and to know and to love Jesus Christ in this world, in order that they may be happy with Our Lady and all the angels and saints in the world to come. And so let us strive to imitate Our Lady in her visitation, which is none other than her mission begun this day to bring Christ to all peoples and to all lands, that mission that will continue through faithful observance to the Holy Faith, through the Catholic Church, until the end of time. It is the selfsame mission that which the Second Vatican Council called the Mission Ad Gentes, the mission to bring Christ to all peoples and to all lands, in season and out of season. Whether the world does not appear to be willing to embrace Christ, it is perhaps at that moment that it is most ripe for the coming of Christ. And so let us strive to take these joyful words spoken to us in today's Gospel, in which it is confirmed that Our Lady truly is the Mother of God and that she came in order to bring joy. For first St. John the Baptist leaped in joy, and then St. Elizabeth declared under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit those most joyful words that we repeat each and every time we pray the Hail Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And indeed, it is Scripture that is the very basis of this prayer that is often criticized by our falling brethren. And so let us strive to ask Our Lady to give us the grace that we may hold the Scripture in our minds, in our hearts, but not in a systematic, isolated way, but rather in a way in which it is available to us at all times in its entirety, so that we may help piecing together all these mysteries to all souls, especially our separated brethren. For first, we must reach out to the members of the household of the faith. Christianity, once again united, will be undefeatable in this world. And so we must strive always and everywhere to have in our minds, in our hearts, that prayer of the Lord, that prayer in which he prayed that we all be one as he and the Father were one, that prayer that Our Lady has on her hearts and in our lips this very moment as she intercedes for all humanity in heaven. Once Christianity is united again, then Christ will again appear in the world, and all that seems to be the end of the world in our day and age, all that seems to be contrary to Christ, will be turned around again. Christ will be embraced, and so we will have that society known as Christendom, that society whose characteristic note is the virtue of charity, in which all work for the salvation of their neighbor and of their brethren. It is quite contrary indeed. It is the exact opposite of the present construction of the modern world, in which each is out for his own gain and for his own glory and for his own power and for his own way. And so let us always strive to be contrary to this, contrary as Our Lady was, for she sought no way except the way, the truth, and the life, that is our Lord, and she sought to bring him to all mankind because she knew it was only her Son who had a love so deep that he could embrace all of humanity, and that love was mirrored in the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so let us strive always to pray to Our Lady that we may have her heart and that we may imitate it in the love for all the brethren, that is, for all of humanity. For Our Lady desires one thing, and is precisely for this reason that the entire order of mercy has been entrusted to her, because she desires that which her Son came in order to do: save us from our sins, put us on the road to heaven, and give us the grace through Holy Mother Church to persevere on that journey to the end of our life. And then, as Christ, we may follow him in imitation, dying in the hands of the Immaculate, so that we may be lifted up to the Father, where seeing Christ in us, he will receive us into eternal joy and into eternal bliss.